Discovering Christ in Revelation, Chapter 51, Christ Turns Satan Loose for a Little Season. A reading from the book of Revelation, chapter 20, verse 7, "And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison." Our Lord Jesus Christ, by his death on the cross, defeated Satan and bound him with a great chain. The purpose of this binding was that he should deceive the nations no more. As the result of Satan's binding, the glorious gospel of Christ has been carried into the four corners of the earth. Our Lord has been gathering his elect out of the four corners of the earth for 2,000 years. Yet he told us that when the time appointed, symbolized by the 1,000 years, was fulfilled, Satan must be loosed for a little season. The Holy Spirit teaches us four things about this little season. First, at the end of this present gospel age, just before the coming of Christ, Satan will once again be turned loose upon the nations of the world. Second, he will be allowed to deceive the nations of the world with false religion once more. Gog and Magog represent all the nations of the world set in opposition to Christ, his church, and the gospel of his grace. The terms Gog and Magog are borrowed from Ezekiel chapter 38, but John never expected anyone to take them to mean Russia, China, or any other literal nation. He tells us plainly that Gog and Magog represent the nations of the world under the influence of satanic deception. Third, under the satanic delusion of false religion, all the nations of the world will rise up in opposition to Christ, his gospel, and his church. Here again, we are warned about the great battle of Armageddon. This is the same battle described in Revelation chapter 16, verses 12 to 16, and chapter 19, verses 19 to 21. It is the final assault of Satan against the Lord Jesus Christ. The meaning of the vision is clear. Towards the close of the gospel age, before Christ comes in glory, Satan will deceive the world with a false gospel, a false Christ, a false God, a false spirit, and a false faith. And the world, in the name of Christ, will turn in violent persecution against Christ's kingdom. Fourth, Satan's last assault, like all that have preceded it, will be foiled in the end. The purpose of God will not be frustrated. The truth of God will not be overturned. The saints of God will not be deceived. The church of God will not be harmed. The Christ of God will thoroughly defeat his enemies. The punishment of the beast and the false prophet has already been described, Revelation chapter 19, verse 20. Here, John assures us that Satan, the beast, and the false prophet will all be cast into the lake of fire. In that horrible place of damnation, they will be unceasingly tormented forever. The battle will end in swift and decisive victory for us when Christ comes in power and great glory. Here are seven things that need to be understood by all who seek to serve God in this generation. 1. We are living in an apostate religious world. The New Testament teaches us plainly that before Christ comes, as this dispensation is drawn to a rapid conclusion, there will be a general, universal, wholesale departure from the faith of the gospel. It's true, this departure from the gospel began during the days of the apostles. Satan has been around from the beginning. Antichrists were abundant even in the apostolic age. Yet never before in history have almost all professedly Christian churches of the world so openly denied the gospel of Christ, and so unanimously accepted, promoted, and preached the lies of Satan. Never before have the philosophy of the world and the religion of the world been so completely united. I'm not referring to the apostasy of Rome. Romanism has always been apostate. Papacy was antichrist from the beginning. But in our day, the children of Rome are rapidly returning to their harlot mother, not in name, but in doctrine. The major tenets of virtually all organized, quote, Christian religions are purely Roman doctrines. These are things held in common throughout the world by Presbyterians, Baptists, Methodists, Anglicans, Campbellites, Pentecostals, Mormons, Russellites, liberals, conservatives, and fundamentalists, Catholics and non-Catholics, Protestants and non-Protestants. They are even held in common by Jews, Muslims, Hindus, and Buddhists. The universally embraced heresies of this apostate age are salvation by free will, justification by works, asceticism, or the teaching that evil is in things, not in us, and rewards or loss of rewards in heaven based on works. No one can know for certain, but it may be that we are now living in the day of Satan's little season. Professing Christianity is in a state of almost total apostasy. There is a remnant, according to the election of grace. There are a few individuals and churches scattered throughout the world who believe and preach the truth of God. However, by comparison, they are a very small remnant. The nations of the world have been deceived with the satanic lie of free will works religion. This is precisely what God told us would happen in these last days. These are perilous times for the souls of men. Our Lord said, I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, ye will receive. It has come to pass. False prophets come in their own name, and men and women flock to hear them, while angrily rejecting the gospel of God's free and sovereign grace in Christ. Point number two, the apostate religion of this world is the result of God's judicial reprobation. Rolf Bernard once said, this is a reprobate age, an age that cannot be explained apart from the judgment of God. Here is one of the most solemn things set forth in all the Word of God. When God gives men the light of the gospel and they refuse to walk in it, they are in danger of being reprobate, cast off, and deceived by Satan. And this is the work of God. 3. Reprobation, the work of God. It is the work of God, fixing it so that those who will not receive the truth cannot receive it. It is the Lord Jesus Christ himself who turns Satan loose upon the nations for a little season. It is God the Holy Spirit who ceases to restrain the powers of darkness. It is God the Father who sends men a strong delusion that they might be damned. I cannot imagine anything more solemn. The Scriptures tell us that God Almighty sovereignly employs Satan and his hellish religion to secure the damnation of those who hear but will not receive the love of the truth. God will not trifle with those who trifle with his Son and the gospel of his grace. How may we identify the messengers of Satan? Nations of the world are deceived by messengers of Satan, and those messengers can be identified by 3 marks. 1. Their enchanting miracles. 2. Their evident motives. And 3. Their enticing message. Some of these false prophets have all 3 marks. Some have 2, some only 1. But every false prophet can be identified by these 3 marks. He may or may not pretend to have apostolic gifts. He may or may not be an evidently covetous man. But every false prophet in the world has the same message. He will always mix something, somewhere, with the work of Christ. Every false prophet and every false religion, every satanic delusion, makes salvation, acceptance with God, and eternal life, to one degree or another, dependent upon man. Somewhere or another, by one means or another, at one point or another, all false religion makes salvation conditional upon something done by the sinner. Any man who preaches conditional grace is a deceiver of men, an instrument of Satan for the damning of men's souls. Salvation is conditioned upon the work of Christ alone. Christ alone is our Savior, and salvation in Christ is by the free grace of God alone. Point number 5. God's saints in these dark days have great cause for thanksgiving. If you are one of God's elect, a trophy of His almighty grace snatched out of the apostate religious world, you have something for which to be thankful. What an outpouring of praise and thanksgiving must have erupted in the hearts of the Thessalonian believers when they read these verses. Rejoice and give thanks to God for His unspeakable grace and abundant mercy. He has chosen us as objects of His love. He has redeemed us by the blood of His dear Son. He has caused us to hear the gospel. He has called us by the power of His Spirit. He has given us faith in Christ and saved us from eternal ruin by His omnipotent grace. And He has kept and will keep us from the apostasy of this age. 6. These days of darkness place us in a position of great responsibility. We must hold fast the form of sound words that we have received and earnestly contend for the faith. We must in these dark days, as never before, make known to men and women who are bound for eternity the gospel of God's free and sovereign grace in Christ. There is no hope for any apart from the knowledge of Christ in the gospel. Point 7. There's no cause for despair. Satan will certainly fall. The truth of God will prevail. The church of God is safe. God's elect cannot be deceived by Satan's lie. The day of victory is at hand. When God, our Savior, has finished with our adversary, the devil, He will cast him into the lake of fire, where he can do no more harm.